So this is Tana Fenske. I think Terry got cut off. So I guess this is my show now. I feel like a pirate. I've taken over here. Tana Fenske, I'm a USA Today bestselling romantic comedy author. And yeah, this is my show now. I should start saying all kinds of obscene things, which I suppose isn't all that different from my books. But hopefully Terry will dial in, or I'll just start reading you my recipe for coffee cake, or excerpts from my new romantic comedy, Stud Muffin Santa. Or maybe excerpts from somebody else's books. I guess we can just look at the book. Ooh, there's a Kurt Vonnegut. I'd like to pick that back up. So, yeah, I think we're just waiting for Terry here. And my dog is tap dancing across the floor, so I hope the radio is picking this up.
What? You're running off with my show without me.
This is my show now.
I knew it. I knew this would happen. No, everyone, This is host Terry Lynn Koop, and I want to invite you to welcoming me with Tana Fenske. Evidently, we're in the middle of one of her romantic comedies right now. I see it.
This is how it all unfolds.
Her next book will be about an internet radio show that goes terribly, terribly wrong. I expect credit for this one. No.
I'll start crafting the scene right away.
No, seriously, thank you very much for that. And what was funny is we were just talking about this in the green room, what to do in case one of us was cut off. And then like 5 seconds before showtime, I was cut off. So
I managed to gab.
Oh, absolutely. I had no doubt whatsoever. Anyway, for the five of you out there who isn't a fan of Tana and what is your problem, let me just tell you that she is a Rita-nominated USA Today best-selling author who writes humorous fiction, risque romance, and love stories with a quirky twist, as a matter of fact. Publishers Weekly.
Depends on the book.
Publishers Weekly has praised Tana's offbeat romances with multiple starred reviews and noticed there's something wonderfully relaxing about being immersed in a story filled with over-the-top characters and undeniably related situations. Heartbreak and humor go hand in hand. So with that, why don't you start out with, you've done a Christmas book, haven't you?
I have, yeah. The new one that just came out a couple weeks ago is called Stud Muffin Santa, and it's definitely my romantic comedies kind of run the gamut from kind of a more serious women's fiction, you know, kind of genre straddling thing there, where there's, you know, certainly humor and love story, but also kind of some heavier things. I mean, often those deal with divorce and grief and infidelity and things like that, along with the romance and the humor. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum is the erotic romantic comedy. And those ones are certainly the filthier versions of what I write. And then kind of in the middle are the just, you know, straight up romantic comedies, a little fluffier, kind of a good mix of all those things. And that's what Stud Muffin Santa happens to be, kind of in the middle, fluffy beach read, just a fun, feel-good story, but with some more serious undertones of plot in there.
What's it? Give us the two-minute version of the plot.
So the general gist is Brandon is a Marine who happens to come home for the holidays to tend to a father who's ill, and he takes a kind of a part-time gig as Santa at a reindeer ranch that's just getting off the ground. And unbeknownst to the owner is Jade, but her sister is the one in charge of marketing and hiring, and the sister's aware of some things at the ranch that have been just going a little bit awry lately, and so kind of secretly has hired Brandon to look out for the place a little bit. Jade's not super happy about turning the reindeer ranch into a beefcake circus with this super hot Marine, you know, just showing up and all the mommies flocking to sit on his lap. So she's less than thrilled to have him there.
And mayhem ensues.
Mayhem ensues, yes. And you dive a little bit more into each of their backstories and kind of some of their issues. But, I mean, this was a super fun book to research, just learning everything about, you know, reindeer ranching and things like that. And then just, you know, kind of the story, getting to know those two. This was, most of my stories are kind of dual point of view, his, hers. This one is written in first person present tense, and so that's a little bit more, it happens to be kind of what's a little bit trendy in the genre right now, but it's also just a real engaging, fun, fast kind of way to write this story, especially when it spans over just a couple of weeks like that. So, yeah.
Where does this one fall on the, as they call it, the heat spectrum?
Probably right in the middle. I mean, I don't close the door on sex scenes, really ever, but this one's definitely, kind of in the middle. It wouldn't fall toward the erotic romantic comedy, but it's definitely up there in terms of heat. There's, let me think, a couple of good makeout scenes. We got some good oral, and then just straight to the actual sex scene. So I guess two explicit scenes and a couple of good makeouts.
As someone who writes in the genre, what is that cutoff line between saucy and naughty and erotic for you anyway?
It depends on the book. Like The List, which came out last January, and The Test comes out in February, those are billed as erotic romantic comedy. So there's virtually no holds barred in those. Those are marketed as super hot, and they're supposed to be. But the rest of the time, I'm usually dialing it back just a little bit. I'm not, explicitly naming body parts or coming up with weird innuendos for his mighty pork sword or, her quivering mounds of love pudding or, like, that's not my style. In fact, I like writing slightly awkward and more realistic love scenes. That's usually how it tends to go for me, regardless of how the heat level falls.
Well, and I will say, when I was writing my own book and I was reaching the culmination that was necessary, I was having a lot of problems with it. And I went through and I picked up one of your novella lengths. I think it was called Eat, Play, Lust. Am I saying that correctly?
Oh, yeah, Eat, Play, Lust. That was definitely on the dirtier side of things.
But it was still, I enjoyed, and I ended up crafting the scene for my two characters of those kind of, it's sexy and it's hot, but it also is incredibly awkward. And
yeah,
everybody ends up laughing.
Yeah, I think that's the most fun thing to do in writing those sexy scenes is having it be realistic. I mean, very rarely does everything flow just perfectly and all choreographed and body parts are heaving and, that's not real life. And certainly write the fantasy of romantic comedy, I want it to be a realistic one.
Yeah, hardly anything ever glistens. This is absolutely true. So I credit you that, and I want to tell anyone who's listening who is writing and wants to learn about crafting these type of scenes, I cannot recommend Tana's books enough, because it definitely got me over that, so to speak, hump that I needed to be able to just kind of let it happen without it turning into an anatomy lesson. That's one thing I don't like to see in these scenes is it's just, mm-hmm. tab A, slot B type of things.
Yeah. Yep. That's, I usually try to avoid that. And yeah, it is often difficult to find that line between like, how much do you spell out, how explicit do you get, and how much do you leave to the reader's imagination?
So what was your first book that was published?
2011 was Making Waves, and that was the first in a three-book deal with Source Books. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one of my like kind of middle-of-the-road romantic comedies, and certainly on the quirkier, zanier end. And then from there, I started writing a lot more series books for Source Books, and those are a lot of the, there'll be three or four books in a series, and they're all kind of tied together, although all of my series books stand alone. And those tended to be a little bit more risque, and since then I've kind of like branched into a little bit more of that women's fiction stuff, but I'm still writing the fluffier, beachier reads for Entangled, and the erotic romantic comedy that was the first one that in that series that came out last January. So kind of a broad career. The interesting thing
Definitely.
About Stud Muffin Santa is that after 20 some odd published romantic comedies that have all been published with traditional publishers, this one's my first self-published book. So that's been a real interesting learning experience for me.
And I can imagine any tips you want to give to anybody who's thinking about doing it themselves.
Gosh, honestly, I don't think I would have been equipped to do it myself, with my first book or second or what. I mean, without 20 books under my belt, I wouldn't have known what the hell I was doing. But that's me personally, and I know plenty of other authors have success just self-publishing right out of the gate and doing awesome at it. For me, just you know, now having an established fan base and knowing how things work in the marketing realm and, you know, understanding how to set up a, you know, publicity plan, that was all crucial for me. And I kind of had to learn some of that the hard way with 20 books under my belt before this came out. So
definitely
being a slow learner though.
Now, if someone wanted to get started in your books, because you've said you have 20 books on the shelf, and maybe they didn't want to go completely to the risque end yet, they wanted to kind of dive in, where'd be a good place to start?
You know, there's actually a page on my website, tanafinsky.com, and I think it's under frequently asked questions or something, but it's the tab is what should I read? And it's kind of a handy way of breaking it down. So like, if you like the more serious and you like the lengthier ones, you know, here are my Motlake books, and those tend to be about 90,000 words and definitely a meatier read, you know, or if you like military, then you might like the front and center series. If you like office romance, you might like the First Impressions series. Everybody's so different. And I often point people to that page as just a good starting point. But, if I had to choose like one book that's a really good starting point, I might say Marine for Hire, which is the first book in the, front and center series. It's just a kind of a good taste test of like my humor and the romance, the construction of a romance. And there's that military hero. It was actually playing with the, you know, in romance, it's no secret we have tropes. So there's the falling for the nanny trope. And traditionally it's like, you know, some billionaire guy has a kid and he hires a nanny and he ends up falling in love with her. So I took that trope and turned it on its head by having a single mom with two twin boys, and she needs a nanny. And ends up, her brothers, who are these kind of overbearing military dudes, end up hiring a Marine sniper to be her nanny, and she doesn't know that's what he is. She's kind of over military men, and but if she knew that's what he was, wouldn't have hired him in the first place. But so there's a lot of comedy that just centers around this big strapping Marine, you know, learning how he confuses at one point the instructions for changing a diaper with the instructions for disassembling a sniper rifle, and just a lot of humor kind of based on that. But there's some pretty hot scenes and some funny scenes and some fairly deeply emotional scenes. So it's overall just probably a good example of the kind of book that I write. Stud Muffin Santa is actually a really good example too, if people are looking for a holiday read, because there's zany stuff, there's silly stuff, there's kind of some heart tugging stuff. I know I've had a few readers tell me that there are a couple scenes that have gotten them a little choked up, but yeah, that blend of sexy and heartache and humor. I like that mix for me. That's always where it's at.
And for for someone looking for something shorter, I can also recommend Eat, Play, Lust. I will never look at tater tots quite the same way again.
You know, that novella was so weird. It was at a point in my career, I'll give you the abbreviated version of the story. Third book in my contract with Sourcebooks was scheduled. It was supposed to be Let It Breathe. And I, while writing a romantic comedy, I went through this pretty gut-wrenching divorce. And so the book took a little bit darker turn than my previous three books. And they came back and they were like, well, it's a great book and all, but it doesn't have quite the same light humor as the others. And we don't think it's the right next book for your career. So they sent me back to the drawing board and asked me to write another book. And that whole process just got really frustrating. And I was at a point where I was just ready to be like, fuck this. And so my agent kind of redirected me. She's like, just go write something fun and fluffy. This here, Entangled is looking for short little novellas that are 20,000 words. Just go write something that's fun and takes your mind off of this. And so I just sat down and thought about like, what do I like? Well, I like tater tots. I like stand-up paddleboarding. I like food. I like hot lumberjack looking guys. Like I just sort of made a list of all these things that I really enjoyed. And I just scrambled them all into one novella, and that's what Eat, Play, Lust became. So it was just kind of palate cleanser for me, but it's been a surprisingly popular little novella.
Well, for just that reason, it has that. It's delightfully awkward, but in the best possible way, and it has that the hero. He's that hot lumberjack looking guy, but he's not, you know, some perfect Adonis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have the chiseled abs and the whole, you know, the whole routine. He's just, he's like that really hot guy you see at the supermarket all the time.
Yeah, he's actually doing these stand-up paddleboarding classes with the heroine because he's been ordered to to drop a pound or two and, you know, get into better shape. So, yeah, he's neither of them are perfect, and they both have a little bit of a backstory. And, I don't ever really write the perfect strapping six-pack abs and this guy has no flaws at all and why the hell am I even reading this? That's kind of not my thing.
And that's part of what makes your books, accessible. The romances that you write are very accessible because they're good fantasy fodder because, again, you could see yourself meeting this guy in the supermarket type of situation, which reminds me I need to go shopping later this afternoon. But that's a whole different story altogether.
Add that to the
And another thing that a lot of people, we both enjoy it and are kind of in awe of it, is you have as fine a touch with social media as any author I've run into. You create this intimacy with your readers that makes us feel like we're part of your life. And how do you get, well, not to mention the fact too, that your life should be a sitcom anyway, but you do that. And how do you do that? What are some of the things you do that make your social media just delightful?
Thank you. Completely lacking a social filter is probably at the core of it. But, you know, I get asked a lot, like, why do you write comedy? Why do you write romantic comedy? And like, well, you know, if you follow my Facebook feed or Twitter feed, like a lot of the awkward stories that I share about, you know, shoving a pair of panties into my purse and, you know, for post gym and then accidentally pulling them out in a meeting and wiping my glasses with them. Or, I mean, that kind of thing happens to me pretty constantly. So it's, I mean, I can't write anything other than comedy. And I've always been a sucker for a good love story. So those two things together blend well. But yeah, I mean, my Facebook feed is full of awkward crap like that I do on a daily basis. So I might as well share with the world my humiliation. I can either laugh at myself or be embarrassed, and I really don't get embarrassed very easily, so I might as well let everybody else laugh with me.
Well, and you are the spirit animal for every woman who has ever lost her cell phone in her bra.
Now I got to think of what book that was. Now that it's you, it was my Rita nominated book. There's a scene in there where the heroine shoves her cell phone into her bra and she's out on a jog and she hears from the depths of her cleavage, starting FaceTime with, and it accidentally spooked all Styles the hero. But that happened to me in real life. I was out on a walk and I shoved my phone in my bra and it was like starting FaceTime with, and it was a photographer that I worked with a day job and didn't know very well. And I'm like, oh shit. And like trying to rip it out of my bra and like flashing this dude. And he's never looked me in the eye since. And that was a couple of years ago.
Well, and in the green room, we talked about that where you said you accidentally sent a cleavage shot to a guy that you were looking to buy a cupcake stand from for your wedding.
Yeah, that sounds like me. I don't even remember that, but I'm sure I did that.
Well, my response to it was send him a leg shot too, and maybe you'll get the chocolate fountain for a good price. I mean, you know, you've got to use what you've got here.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure Craig totally understood that he was becoming everybody's book boyfriend when he decided to marry you.
I married a guy who's a professional video producer, so he does a lot of really awesome videos. I mean, we do them together, but a lot of people have kind of fallen in love with his charm because a lot of times we'll have this intro with the two of us and talking about that. Yeah, he volunteers for some pretty crazy stuff. We did one video in particular that was like tips for hooking up for a frisky romp outside. And we get to stage this, like, if there's one scene where I'm picking ticks off his butt in the woods and, you know, like we have a picnic blanket all laid out with all these accoutrements for our frisky hookup. And there's like a tub of Crisco and stuff. I mean, but just silly things like that. Actually, one of the ones we did recently for the hookup was the heroin sells adult pleasure aids. And so we did a video that was uncommon uses for your adult toys. And so it was like, there's one scene of him lubing up a bike chain with some lube. And there's a scene of me using bondage tape to wrap a present. I mean, that kind of thing. Like, and those are very deliberate marketing. I mean, they're supposed to make people laugh, obviously, but they're sort of deliberate marketing choices too. Like, this is my brand of humor. And if you don't find it funny, probably you don't want to pick up my books. But if you do, then hey, I've got 20 of them you can choose from.
Didn't you guys do a puppet show, too, for one of your books?
Yes, we did a couple of sexy puppet shows. That was kind of funny. So yeah.
Oh, I like hurt myself my YouTube laughing channel. Watching that.
My YouTube channel is just packed with them. There's a lot of good stuff on there. Like I said, I married well. I can't think of a better mate for a romantic comedy author than a video producer.
Well, and I was just going to ask you about that. You do have a YouTube channel that has all of these hilarious videos on it.
Yep. If you just plug my name into YouTube, Tana Finsky, then you get lots of them coming up. So yeah.
Enter at your
and
own
I share
risk,
them.
Listeners.
I share them pretty constantly on my Facebook page. I'd say Facebook's probably the social media channel I'm most active on. So you can see lots of those sorts of things popping up.
Now, how do you, again, do you enjoy Facebook? Do you do it more through your personal page? Do you have an author page? Kind of just give us the little overview of your social media presence.
So Facebook's my main channel, and my, you know, Facebook monetized the crap out of their author pages or their business pages, which means my reach, unless I plug money behind it, isn't always that awesome. So usually what I'm posting to my personal page is a duplicate of what's on my author page. There's a lot of crossover there. And I have noticed that, you know, I reach slightly different audiences, but you're going to see the same thing on my author page versus my personal one, more or less. And it's just, yeah, kind of different, slightly different reach. And the more Facebook tweaks its algorithms, the tougher it comes to reach new audiences. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just kind of spur of the moment, this awkward thing happened to me. And then other times I'll post about sales on books and that kind of thing. You know, random observations about life. And you know, sometimes it's serious stuff too. Like I posted the other day about, you know, hey, everybody be aware that the holidays are kind of rough times for everybody. And even that message, just reminding people to be kind to each other and have a little grace with one another, is laced with some, you know, slightly risque humor. I mean, I guess that's kind of my thing. Even when I'm being serious, I'm usually not all that serious. So
yeah.
Serious underlying messages are delivered with a humorous touch as well.
Well, that's like yesterday. I posted something, you know, this coffee shop I like to go to, and I enjoy going there so much because yesterday I was able to walk in and go, I'm cranky. I don't feel good. Bring me a giant cinnamon roll. And, you know, it just like appeared within like 30 seconds.
Nice.
With a smile and a laugh. And I tipped accordingly.
Excellent.
because what you do, it's about building relationships and getting this getting this connection with your readers. I go back to the run up to your wedding. It was so much fun. We all felt like we were invited.
Yeah, definitely I was sharing all the little anecdotes about, you know, what my stepkids-to-be were saying, and yeah, just random things about going to dress fittings and, you know, how to choose different types of food and music and things like that. But yeah, there were lots of awkward moments in the run-up to that and the plan. And I actually did, I think on my YouTube channel, you'll see the entire video of my wedding. Like,
yes.
I don't have much of a filter as far as, I don't block people out of my life. I'm not going to be, like, posting my intimate sex videos or anything, but I definitely, I'm not one of those authors who tends to be super private.
And no, your wedding video was wonderful. I mean, it was joyous, and it was fun. It was very, very fun to watch. And those vows should be like carved into a stone somewhere because they were just perfect.
Yeah, and they also had a touch of humor in them as well. I liked, our wedding kicked off with Eye of the Tiger, and then yeah, our vows were definitely. Kind of a humorous edge to them as well. In fact, when I was learning, I was trying to memorize my vows, and so I recorded myself reading them and thought I would, like, play them in the car and speak along with them, which really just made it kind of awkward at stop signs when I'd be reciting my vows with the windows down and people looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with that lady? But
wait,
did
she just say naked alarm
iPod,
clock?
So... Yes, I pledged to be Craig's naked alarm clock. I can't even remember what, but... That I do frequently wake my husband up by, like, smashing my boobs on his face. So that's.
Remember, everybody,
he
you heard it here.
Yeah, I mean, it works. sometimes.
No, and again, it's about building that tribe, building those connections, which again, I am in awe of your ability to do so. Because I've certainly enjoyed being part of it for sure.
Thank you.
So what are you working on now?
I wrote Stud Muffin Santa to be kind of a standalone, you know, short little, it's about 47,000 words, shorter novel. And I kind of was going to gauge, you know, if readers seemed to really dig it, I would use that to spin off a series. So readers have seemed to dig it. They do seem to dig it. So I have been working on the next book in that series, which actually stars the sister of the heroine from this one. And then I have the follow-up to The List, which is called The Test. That one comes out from Entangle Publishing in February. And then I have a Kindle in Motion novella coming out with Motlake in April. So, yeah, quite a few things on the docket.
What is Kindle in Motion? I'm not sure I'm familiar with that.
It's kind of a new thing. So on like a Kindle Fire device, they have actual actors and actresses like acting out the scenes from the books, kind of in the margins and on the side. It's a little difficult to explain, and I don't know that I'm necessarily the target demographic for it. But it's been fascinating to be involved. Like they actually cast play my hero and my heroine. They have a designer, I think she's based out of the UK somewhere, sketching out. The story has a pack rat, little wood rat, bushy-tailed wood rat. So mm-hmm. She's like drawn that, and I mean, they've been sending me clips of the actor and actress together, and you know, like, here's the first kiss scene. What do you think of that? And I think, like, oh my god, like something I wrote made two total strangers mac on each other, and that's kind of interesting.
That is fascinating. I hope you'll share more about it as the process goes on, and they can let you. You know, where you're going to be allowed to share some of that, because I now actually think I have heard of that, but back when it was like totally on the drawing board, you know, when they were just kind of.
There are a number of authors who have released Kindle in Motion titles. I know Jodi Picoult had one recently that was a mermaid. I want to say they were doing something with Harry Potter. Like it's something they're really trying to develop. So it was exciting to get to be part of something this new.
For sure, that is, and especially with your books. That should be very, very interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out.
So now I always ask guests too to kind of rat somebody out. Who are you reading? What do you enjoy?
Oh gosh, right now I'm reading Edgar and Lucy, and I can't think of who the author is. Male author. It's been on the bestseller list a lot, but more of a literary fiction thing. I usually have several books going at once, though. So that's one. I've been reading Kate Nolan has a new Christmas release. She also writes. She writes like sweeter small town southern romance, but mm-hmm. she has a new holiday release that I've been enjoying very much. Lauren Blakely just released a new super sexy romantic comedy, and I just downloaded that and haven't had a chance to read that yet. That's called The V Card. So there's lots of good stuff out there right now. And then a travel guide for Dominican Republic, because the husband and I are planning a little getaway. So
interesting. That is awesome. And now, since being cut off at the very beginning totally blew my schedule out completely, we're actually going to finish up with what I'd planned on doing in the middle, which for those of you who are out there, you get to hear an actual section from Stud Muffin Santa. So why don't you lay it on us?
All right. So this is, I'll just read a little excerpt from a scene where Brandon has shown up to get try on his Santa suit for the first time, and Jade is still a little standoffish with him. She's not super excited about having this beefcake Santa here. So he's gone into her office to try on his Santa suit for the first time. I take a step toward Jade and notice she takes a step back. Her eyes are fixed on my pecs, and I glance down to make sure I'm not sporting some hideous chest zit or something. No zit. Which means Jade, the ice queen who hasn't given me the time of day since I set foot on this farm, is checking me out. Before I get too smug about that, I remind myself that the sight of her in a fitted blue t-shirt with a winged W on the chest has just confirmed what I've suspected from day one. Jade King has a killer body. Lush curves and narrow waist and the sort of well-muscled arms I can't stop picturing wrapped around my back. I swallow hard trying to get my bearings. I came out here for some reason, but damned if I can remember what it was. "Why are you holding that like it's a dead animal?" she asks. I look down at my hand, relieved to see I am not, in fact, holding a dead animal, I think. I have no idea what the hell this is, so I heft up the weird-looking padded thing with strings on it. Is this some sort of chest protection like a catcher would wear, or a butt pad for Santas who have to sit all day? Jade laughs, and it's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. She steps closer, and for a second I think she's going to touch my chest. I hold my breath, aching for that moment her hand brushes my bare skin. But no, she reaches for the padded thing instead. "This is your belly," she says. "My what?" "Your belly," she repeats. "You know, like a bowl full of jelly?" She nods like she's explaining something to an exceptionally dense toddler, and I get lost in those eyes again. What was she saying? "Jelly," I repeat like an idiot. "Of course, Sam is supposed to be a little squishy in the middle, but obviously you're not, so fake belly." "Right." Her gaze skims quickly over my abs, and I resist the urge to flex. I want her to look. I want her to touch, truth be told. I want an excuse to take her in my arms and, "Take off your jacket," she commands. "What?" "Take off your Santa jacket," she said. "You need to take it off." I don't ask questions, willing to shed any article of clothing she asks me to. I hang the Santa coat on a nail sticking out of the post beside me as Jade fiddles with the buckles on the belly pad. "Do I need to take off my pants?" I ask. "No, no pants. Please, keep your pants on." So, that's there's a little more fiddling with the attire that comes after that, and they may or may not kiss at the end of that scene, but that's kind of the run-up to that. That's some of their first physical contact.
What I enjoy about that is the fact that it's told from Brandon's point of view and that there is mm-hmm. that little touch of awkwardness to it. He's not just this, you know, glorious, noble male. He's like, "Come on, babe. Come on, touch me, come on."
It was fun getting into his head, you know, because he's this strapping Marine, and he was the, you know, the jock demigod. And she remembers it. She was younger in school than him, and she remembers him as being just this, you know, perfect godlike character. And it was fun to get into his head and see that, you know, he's actually pretty flawed and has a lot of doubts and questions and awkwardness as well. So it was, and it, you know, the story alternates between his point of view and hers. And so it was neat getting in both their heads and, you know, sometimes having them think different types of things. And you know, she thinks he's thinking one thing and he's thinking another. And it, you know, it's just fun to play with two characters' minds like that.
No, and that ties into what I really enjoy in books. So this one sounds like a lot of fun. Will you come back when this next round of your books start coming out? Will you come back again and tell us about them?
Absolutely, I'll always talk your ear off.
Oh no, this was totally a blast. Thank you so much. thank you for awkwardly glossing over that little technical glitch we had at the beginning. I knew I could count on you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for letting me pimp Stud Muffin Santa.
Absolutely. And you have a Facebook meeting here today, don't you?
I do, yeah, on the Romance Reveal Book Box Party Spot. I'm doing a live reading on Facebook from probably a different scene than the one I just read. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of those lately. Seems like people are really digging that. So yeah, I guess that one will be accompanied by visual, which means I probably ought to take a shower and brush my hair.
Now, again, would you repeat where that reading's going to be?
That one's, let's see, it will be at 4 p.m. Pacific time, the Romance Reveal Box Party Spot, say that five times fast, but that's a private group, but they'll give anybody who wants to join can be part of it, and yeah, I'll do that. And I do live readings periodically on my own Facebook page as well, so.
So everybody, check out Tana's Facebook page. Check out her YouTube channel to see all those videos in one place. They are a freaking scream. One of those puppet shows, I swear I broke something watching it, laughing so hard. And just across the board, I highly recommend just following you on Facebook in general, because it's always a bright spot. And for sure, check out Stud Muffin Santa.
And
absolutely. And with that, folks, that's our show today. I want to thank Tana for coming in, and I'll finish up the little boilerplate here, and I'll see you around social media.
Thanks so much for having me, and happy holidays.
All righty, you too. Thank you. And just a reminder, everyone, that this broadcast is owned and copyrighted by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. You can follow the Blue Plate Special on Facebook to stay up to date on the hottest authors fresh off the grill. And with that, I will say good afternoon to you. Thank you.